Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Well, I'm excited because we've got the next series for you, and this time we're talking authority. Now, the reason I've brought you guys authority is because I have had so much feedback from the type series. And as all of you know, one of the big things for me is I don't want any of you falling into the type box. I don't want you using any of your human design as a dogma, as a this is who I am. This is a treasure map to how you can access and be more you. It's not who you are. So, on that note, I want to do the same with authority. I want to give you permission to really dive into your authority, experiment with it, and maybe get a few handy tips and give your brain evidence of how people can really live in alignment with their authorities. So today we're going to kick off with emotional authority. And the reason why we're going to kick off with emotional authority is that there is a hierarchy, okay? There's a hierarchy of authority. So if you're looking at a chart and the solar plexus, which is the one down on the right-hand side, the little triangle that points inwards towards the sacral, that is the solar plexus. And if that is colored in, then you have emotional authority. So we're going to follow the hierarchy. And today I have one of my absolute favorite friends on the planet with me to join the discussion on emotional authority. Welcome, Jess Barbaco.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And I am just so excited to talk with you about emotional authority, especially because we have the same channel. So this is going to be great.
That's so good. It's so good. So let's talk about emotional authority. We'll just sort of kick it off with, this is the one that you hear me joke about. Like we're going to be like 86% certain. We're never going to be certain. And emotional authority is all about that emotional wave. It's something that is completely mechanical. And as a person who did depression and panic disorder for a very, very long time, I have spent so many years beating myself up about a mechanical wave. Even when I went through this process of reconditioning my brain, of really healing my thinking and healing everything that was the pattern of depression and anxiety, I did
before human design, I got to this point like, wow, I've been doing lots of work. Why do I still feel like this sometimes? Or why do I still ride this emotional roller coaster? And human design really did open the door for me because it made me realize, oh, wow, it's mechanical. And it's just the meanings I'm attributing to this mechanical wave that's kind of getting in my way. So let's start with, should we just start at the beginning? Like, what does certainty feel like? Like, what does certainty with emotional authority feel like to you?
I like to think about, the way that I understand my own emotional wave and the way that the energy rolls for me, and coming into that place of certainty is that if there's a little bit of like anxiousness there or a little bit of like ungrounded energy, to me, when that certainty comes, all of that is gone. It's this, it feels grounded in my body and I just know it almost in my core, like in the center. And I know that it's time because it feels, the only word I can use is it feels settled. I don't feel 100% certain, which probably also has to do with having the open headset or the open ajna, right? Where it's like, I'm never going to really be certain of anything, but it's like, oh, there's a clarity, there's a calm, there's a centering. It just feels almost like fact to me, almost to the same fact of going, my name is Jess. It's like, I'm going to go to Colorado for a month. Yes. You know, it's just, it's grounded energy.
Yeah.
And I'm curious for you too. I want to hear how it comes up for you.
Yeah. So as you were talking, I'm just getting covered in goosebumps because it's really similar for me. So the way it is for me is that my energy, and I think possibly, so I have an open head and ajna as well. So my energy as an MG can be very excitable. It can be very sort of high and playful and go, 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 go. And I think that is part of being, you know, having the 3420 as well, like having a motor connected to the throat. There is this thing about my energy that has a buzz. But when I have emotional certainty, it's very similar to you. It's like, boom, I've just dropped down into my body. I love what you said, because for me, it's not certainty at all. It's a knowing. It's just a duh, obviously, you know, like it's just this. And what I often find is that if I'm in, you know, in my wave somewhere, the mind has a lot to say, like it's just has a lot to say about it. Whereas when the clarity drops in or when the knowing drops in, it's just almost a silence, you know, it's just like, I just know this in my body. Yeah, that's probably how it turned up for me. And I think I loved what you said about it's not a certainty, because it's certainly not a certainty for me. It is a knowing. And if someone asked me at that point why, I'd say it's because I just know. Like, I wouldn't have anything else to say.
Yeah, it's almost, as you're talking, it's making me think of this idea that it's almost a sensation. It's not a knowledge. It's not knowledge based. It's just this. It's a sensation that. But to me, I've had to come to over, and it sounds like you have as well. And as when I speak with people who are emotional authority, it's this practiced energy of, you know, I remember being in my 0 to 30 phase as a, you know, a sixth line, and right towards the end, as I was in my Saturn return from about 27 to 30, I had just learned about human design and I had just learned about the emotional wave. And the way I understood it from a very topical place, because I was very ungrounded at the time, I understood it as like, oh, I have these emotional highs and lows and they make more sense to me. Like, I'm an emotional being. And I think between that critical time of probably 28, 29, 30 was my time of really playing with it, because at the time I had sold all of my stuff and I was traveling the country, and I literally would land places and go, okay, Gus, show me where to go next. And I had enough experience not waiting on the wave to go, oh God, why am I here? This was a bad idea. You know, like I'd be like, okay, I'm in, you know, Tennessee today. And my emotional, you know, somebody asked me if I wanted to come to Seattle, or I saw something about Seattle on the news and was like, oh, I want to go and do that. And then I'd be like, I'm booking a ticket tomorrow. And I'd get there and be like, why did I do that? Or, you know, wherever it may have been, that I had to start actually learning the mechanics of the wave to go, because much like you as a manifester, my energy can shoot off and just be like, yes, let's do it. Like, I'm all in. And so I had a lot of learning lessons in not riding out the wave to then be able to get to that point to go, oh, that's the sensation of it being settled in my body. That's the sensation of it's okay to wait a little bit longer. You don't have to know in this moment and try to make it happen. You can let it roll.
Yeah, I love that. And I so resonate with that. And I want to talk about the waiting. So maybe we'll go to that. And the other thing I definitely want to talk about is, you know, one of the things that I've now learned, not only for myself, but working with so many people with emotional authority, is that time pressure is time pressure is not great anyway, but for a person with a defined solar plexus, it's like our nemesis. So in fact, let's talk a little bit about time pressure, because I think time pressure really plays, you know, we live in this world where we're expected to make decisions on the spot. And, you know, a lot of people within the personal development field, probably the people from the 90s and the 2010s, that, you know, we've kind of been taught to make decisions fast, like take action quickly. And I know for me is that one thing that will drive emotional clarity or this knowing away is if I am either applying time pressure myself or someone is applying time pressure to me. So I can have, a really simple example is with the kids. If the kids come up and they say, Mum, can we go to the pool now? And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, they have to finish their schoolwork, or they have to do this, or they have to do that. If they pressure me in that moment for an answer, I have nothing. Like, I just have a scramble of things going on in my head. But if they honor, and most times they do, they will step away, like literally out of my aura. They'll give me a minute, especially my eldest, or like, just give Mum a minute. It's almost as if the minute they get out of my aura, I'm like, oh yeah. So if you could just finish your schoolwork and this, then sure, off you go. Does that resonate with you? Like, do you have that same sort of relationship with time pressure?
Absolutely. I need to say, hey, let me even just go to the bathroom and I'll come back and I'll let you know what I'm feeling while this energy is not in my space of needing to make this decision. I think that's really powerful that your kids know enough to be able to say, hey, let's give her a moment, you know, and they respect that for you. I think that's really incredible and empowering. I find that, for me, when the pressure's on, I mean, before I knew about human design, I definitely spent tens of thousands of dollars on things that I shouldn't have purchased because I signed up for classes in the moment, right? I was like, you know, I did because that pressure was there. So yeah, I think that, and it's, you know, I look too at the root, if you've got the open root center, I think too, that, and you know, the open head that can apply that extra sense of pressure on those pressure centers as well to make a decision. But yeah, I think being able to advocate for yourself as well, to say, hey, I just need a moment, or let me get out of the energy, let me walk outside. If you don't even want to tell somebody because you're in a work situation, you know, it can be, I got to answer this call or whatever it may be that you need to just get out of the energy so that you can feel what you're feeling and move through it.
Yeah. And I think this is one of the things that, especially when people first come to human design and are practicing and experimenting with their authority, like, this can be the hardest thing because they have no boundaries. You know, they don't have boundaries around telling people that I need time, you know. And, you know, often what we do is when we first come to our human design and we first start experimenting with our authority, we're bringing our mind to it. And what we're talking about is making the transition from the mind to the body. So often people will be like, I don't hear my authority. I don't get it. I think I'm not doing it right. Do I just wait around for something to happen? And the reality is that it's happening all the time. Your solar plexus is telling you all the time. It's waiting all the time. Like, one of the massive awarenesses that I had, and it's still quite recent, was that sometimes I make decisions and they seem like I didn't even sleep on it. Like, it was just like, God, I have emotional clarity. Like, it's weird. Like, I didn't even sleep on it. And it dawned on me, oh my goodness, I have been, inverted commas, sleeping on it for the last 3 weeks, because it's coming through. And I realized that one of the big things about the solar plexus, especially because I have a defined sacral as well, is timing. Do you know what I mean? So it's often with a sacral, you're like, I'm getting the thumbs up, but I'm getting a not now from the emotion, from the solar plexus. And I think that this is the piece to understand as well with the solar plexus is that so often you might know that it's a yes, but the solar plexus has the wisdom to go, not yet, not yet, mm-hmm. not yet. So it's being able to really trust that flow of energy and trust the flow from the universe and being able to allow yourself the time. And for me, with the small decisions, I feel almost like a click. I almost feel a click when it drops in and go, oh, yep, sure, you can go to the pool or whatever it is. Like, and maybe that's my sacral, I don't know. But actually, no, I know that's my, it's definitely my emotional authority. So practicing it, I often say practicing it on the small things that don't matter, meaning that you don't have attachment to, can really help you feel when you get, when that clarity kind of drops in.
Absolutely. And as you were talking as well, you know, I tend to be, when we think about intuition, very clairvoyant, and I will get a lot of images and visuals around what I need to be doing, right? Or I'll have this knowingness, but my emotional wave sometimes will take a long time because the actual manifestation out into the world of that thing, my emotional authority is going to give me the timing on it. And, you know, there's even, I'm thinking now, you know, back at the beginning of the summer, my roommate does corporate speaking, and she teaches people how to, you know, land corporate stages and all that. She and I got together and we talked about, you know, myself and, you know, how I want to connect and speak in corporate and all this stuff. And she was like, okay, let's get these. She's a 1-3 sacral mangen. And she's like, all right, I'll help your VA go out and like, we'll send these emails or whatever and have her like, I'll approve the templates and take a look at them so that the emails are good. And I was like, it's not necessarily time just yet, but when the time comes, we'll do that. Right. And what was neat was, and as well, I'm thinking, it's going to start to come through my network somehow. Like there's going to be some kind of network connection that comes. And in that, actually just earlier today, the wave, you know, the clarity came. I was like, I talked to somebody and connected with somebody and was like, oh, now I feel it actually deeply centered in my body. And this person is who I want to work with to actually start working in corporate and bringing, you know, these messages to corporate. So it's really interesting as well. And I'm curious from you, because I found it frustrating at times. My body knows, my knowingness, my visions. And for me, I feel like, I don't know if it's because, you know, I've got the defined G center. I feel it in my center of like, it's almost time for me to settle. I don't want to say settle down, but like find a home and a place that I want to live. But my emotional authority has given me no clarity on like, it, again, the timing. I'm like, it's close. Like we're like so close. Whereas back in the beginning of the summer, my wave was rolling and I was like, there is absolutely no, I don't even feel like I'm starting to level out, versus now I'm like, it's starting to ground into my body and I can feel it. And my intuition says October, you'll have more clarity. Like it's coming, but it's like, once it settles, it will happen quickly. Like it won't take a long time once the wave actually comes into, yeah, the word I just want to use is like calm, centered, yeah, grounded sensation.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally resonate. And it's this, I love this, because especially being an MG, like I can know that something's coming or feel that something's coming and want to be like, right, I'm onto it. Like I'm just looking for shit to respond to. Like, let me go. And if I go, it never works out. It never works out. But when I wait, I'm not going to say it never works out. Do you know, the one thing I've massively discovered is, because I'm so tenacious and, you know, I do have this design where there's a lot of adversity in my chart. So I've really learned just to overcome adversity, and I don't even need to force so much as I'll just find another way, you know, like that line 3. And one lesson I had in the last 12 months that blew my mind of how easy it can be. So I can, inverted commas, make things happen, if you like, and try and sort of force a little bit, but it's not forcing, it's still just finding another way. But it's longer, it's harder, and it's more like it's definitely not the easy way. Like, I totally make my life harder by not listening to my authority, by saying, okay, I get you said it's coming in, so I'm just going to trust you that it's coming in, but there's something for me to respond to, and I know better. You know, the ego, I know better, or I'm impatient. And then when we first bought the car and the caravan, so for long-time listeners, they're going to know this story, but so we had originally ordered for our trip around Australia a brand new camper van. So that's the all-in-one, right? And it was flashy, it was amazing, and it had all the bells and whistles. And we ordered it, and I knew when we ordered it, I was like, there's something not quite right. There's something not quite right. But I just like forced ahead. And that was like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. In the process of them building our van, it like COVID hit, it got put off, like all of these things happened. And this has happened so many times in my life. Like, there's just these external things that happen that get in the way. And then we get to a point where they try to delay our van one more time, and they'd guaranteed it for January, and they tried to do a delay, and we've already taken our kids out of school. It's all done. And we're like, no, it's a hard no. And I remember thinking in that moment, oh my God, this is the thing to respond to. I just know it. I had that emotional clarity. And I was like, cancel it. I just knew it. And we did that. And and at the time when we canceled it, there was not a caravan, because we were looking at options. We were doing, and this is what I mean about solar plexus. Like, I just knew there was something wasn't quite right. So we started looking at other alternatives. We kind of like, oh shit, we probably should have a car and a caravan, because we're going to need that for other things and da da da. And then in that moment, it was like, boom, I could make the instant decision, because I'd been sleeping on it. We'd been going whatever. There's not a car, not a caravan, nothing in the country. And then all of a sudden, Justin gets on some website, finds a car and a caravan that someone's selling together. We literally, he makes the call. We put down the down payment, bing, bada, boom, job done. And for me, that is the story that has happened over and over and over and over in my life, by not listening to my authority in the first place. I'm still going to get there, but it's going to be a much more challenging road. So I may as well just listen to her in the first place and avoid all the other shit.
Yes. So what I'm hearing you say, or what I'm hearing is, when there's uncertainty and unsettledness, that is like, don't try to find something to respond to, because your mind is telling you that this is what you need and this is the best route. Trust that unsettledness that your body is sharing with you, which takes this level of attunement. I believe, as emotional authority, of we really have to start to get in touch with our body and our feeling. Yeah. And it makes me think about somebody who's right at the outset of their, if they're, somebody's listening to this and going, I know I'm emotional authority, but I have no idea what that means. And I have no idea what that settled feeling in my body is. Like, my first recommendation would be, just start paying attention to your body and what your body is telling you. Even down to, I've worked with Nicole Laus, who does somatic experiencing. She's amazing. And just even listening to, like, my body's telling me I have to go to the bathroom. And instead of just sitting here and waiting and being like, I'll get up and go when I have to go a little more, like, listen to what your body's telling you. Or I was going on a walk before and I was like, I'm really thirsty, but I'll just do it later. And I was like, no, drink the water now. Like, pay attention even to bodily sensations, to emotions, to what your emotions feel like, because they can be very subtle. And if you've been taught that it's not safe to feel your emotions, then you may be out of sync with your emotional wave. And I think even just starting to attune to, what the heck am I feeling in this moment? You know, or, well, my mind is telling me we've already taken the kids out of school and that we've decided we're going to do this. And that if we don't get this van, because there's none in Australia, then, you know, it's never going to happen. The emotional, you know, your emotional wave not being settled was trying to maybe say, hey, this is not this isn't right. There's something off here. And if we believe in manifestation and we believe in Gus and we believe in all of this, we know that nothing is linear. And that if we can allow ourselves to let go of the banter of the mind and actually drop into the authority, we can truly experience miracles and miraculous things in our lives just by following our strategy and authority and by letting go of, well, it has to be A plus B equals C or whatever it may be. We can trust, we can start, I don't know about you, but I can actually lean into trusting my body and trusting my authority more because I know that it's always going to lead me to where I need to go versus the mind that goes, well, I'm fearful that X, Y, Z won't happen if I override that.
Or tune into that. I think that is such a, that like nailed it. Perfect. You know, this piece of really starting to be able to feel our body. Like one of the things that I started practicing right in the beginning was exactly that, like taking breaks. That's another thing that I wasn't good at. Like I have gate 9. I have a lot of like when I'm locked in, I'm locked in. And, you know, learning to take breaks when my body needed to either go to the bathroom or get something to eat. You know, I have a left arrow in my PHS. So like I have a very hungry brain. So those things are, like I say, like start to build those muscles early. I think you're so right. Like really tapping into those feelings. And, you know, one of the things that I often will look back at my childhood, because for me, I did have a lot of freedom in my childhood to be myself. Although I locked everyone else out, I knew myself really well. I was very aligned to who I was. And I had this, and something that I definitely have a lot more of now is this brilliance to sit in uncertainty. Like I had that ability just to trust that, like, I'm just going to sit around. And even with my gate 40, like one thing I was really good at as a kid, like I was into equestrian sport and literally rode a horse 5 days a week, would spend hours on the weekend, was a very athletic kid. But then I would come home and I would literally sit in front of the television for maybe 3 hours straight. And I never judged myself for that, you know. And it was because that's what my body told me it needed. You know, I had this, and now I look back at it and go, oh, wow, that's the generator satisfaction. Like I could remember my whole body letting letting down, as we call it, like just really letting go of everything, processing lactic acid, like all of these things, just as I sat still and did nothing. And I think that this is the lesson with emotional authority, is that often in our childhood we were really listening to it and we didn't make our emotions a bad thing. With emotional authority, this is what I really want to throw in to the next discussion, is that the thing I discovered very early on, and it's what I teach everyone about, I learned it about me first and now I teach everyone, is that the key to really being able to hear, listen and align with your emotional authority is to not indulge your emotions and not to repress your emotions. And this isn't something I read anywhere else. It was the good old line 3 in me, because what I realized was when I'm alone in my own aura, being an only child as a kid, all that stuff, I wasn't hugely emotional at all. I was also taught to shut my emotions down, but in my own space, if I listened to a certain song, oh my God, it would just get me and I would be bawling my eyes out. And I would just like, I'm a person who listens to every lyric and rides the emotional roller coaster. Like I loved all that, but I never repressed it to me, like in my space, in my aura. It was only once I got out of or got into other people's auras that I would do that. And then when I got into my late 20s, I went through this process of sort of learning to express my emotion, but then I went the other way. I went so from externally repressing it to externally like really, really indulging in it. And what I then learned once I got to human design was like, oh, it was kind of, again, me trying to force or repress my emotions. Like I was trying to like force the water with this guidance. Like this guidance was telling me the whole time, it's all going to be okay. Just go with the process. Just da da da. And I was like, no, it's too uncomfortable. It hurts too much. So I would either repress or I would indulge. And I think that this is a piece that anyone who has that emotional solar plexus, that is a mechanical wave that's always moving through you. However, you have responsibility of the stories and the meanings that you make and you create for that mechanical wave, because someone without emotional authority, they do the mindset work and they get massive results, and they will create massive behavioral change, and they will have all of these things, and a defined solar plexus will go, why doesn't that work for me? And it's because they still have a mechanical wave. So one of the biggest shifts for me was to say, oh, I'm in a low. I'm going to nurture myself. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not thinking bad thoughts. I'm not blah, 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 whatever meaning I'd given it that was unresourceful. I'm in an emotional low. So I need to give it a powerful meaning so that I can allow myself to move through it. Even to the point that my entire family, they'll be like, oh, no, mum's in an emotional low. What can I do for you? You know, so that was a bit of a rant. Tell me, I'd love to hear your feedback. What came up for you?
Everything you just said, I'm like, yes to all of it. And something, there were a couple of things that came up. I remember I lived with this guy. He was just a roommate when I first graduated grad school. And I remember we lived together for 2 years. And I remember thinking to myself, I think it was like New Year's Eve, and I was like cleaning the apartment. I remember thinking, I haven't cried in like a year and a half, you know? And I was like, I don't know if it's because I live with a guy, and like, but I had repressed so much, and my acne was terrible, and I was constantly stressed, and I was working out. I was acting like, I was honestly functioning like a manifesting generator who would crash and burn every 3 weeks. And then take like a week and a half to try to crawl and get back up from there. And then I moved in with my two best friends, and I just cried on the couch for like a year. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling again, you know? And it was interesting too, because when I was living, and not feeling my emotions, this could be connected or could not. Personally, I think it's connected. My menstrual cycle was like hella crazy. I would get it at once every 3 months, once every 4 months. Like I was totally disconnected from my body, overworking myself. Then I swung the opposite pole and lived with my best friends. And do you guys have Home Goods in Australia?
No. Okay.
Favorite store. It's like there's just all different brands, and like everything is at like I want to say like an affordable price, but it's just like everything. You can find anything and everything for your home there. I think it's just because I used to go there with my parents growing up like every weekend. So it's love like it. To me, there's a nostalgia there.
Yeah.
I think I bought like every candle on the shelf. I could have bought stock and candles at Home Goods, but I would have candles out. It would be serene and I'd be crying for like a year.
Yeah.
And I think you're exactly right, because the pendulum to me almost had to swing, because I needed to be able to see the threshold on either side. What is it like when I lock my emotions up over here? What is it like when I totally indulge them here? And I remember entering into a coaching program, and I love what you just said about people who are non-emotional beings. It was all mindset. And I was like, I'm not getting it. Why are these people just changing their mindset? And like, suddenly they're creating all these shifts and changes. And I was like, but we need to feel like we need to be able to feel what's coming up. And even as I've done manifestation work for myself, I almost feel like bringing in the emotionality has been very important for me to be able to feel into what it is that I'm calling into my experience. But yeah, I think that as it relates to mindset work and all that, you can do the mindset work. There's been times when I would indulge, and when I still do sometimes indulge my emotional wave, it actually has to do with worthiness stuff for me. And when I get stuck in a low, I can almost guarantee that I'm feeling unlovable or not worthy in some kind of way. And so if I find myself, it doesn't happen that often anymore, but if I'm traversing a transition, and I'm in that low, I'm having to go, okay, you're here a little bit longer than you typically are. What is this actually trying to, what's trying to come up? Like, what's it trying to show you by you being not stuck here, but chilling in the low for too long?
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's that, if you're chilling in the low for too long, it's that you're not seeing it, that you're not feeling it, that you're not getting it. Like, it's there to teach you something. And I know for me personally, you know, the reason I sat where I sat for such a long time is because I just was absolutely not prepared to take responsibility for my emotions, for my life, for my power. I was just not up for it. So my emotions were literally like, well, we have to make this really uncomfortable until you can really see it. And, you know, for me, I know, like, now I'm really not that much of an emotional being. I'm only emotional when I'm tired, you know, when I've gone, oh, that's too much. Cause that's probably the biggest lesson that, it's not that I haven't got, but I'm always, because my energy and my entire design is paradoxical. And like, I'm super fast and I need to slow down. I have lots of energy. I have only four defined centers. You know, I'm constantly swinging. And I think that's a big part of what my emotional wave will be triggered by. That'll be like, am I looking after my physical well-being? Am I sleeping enough? Am I working too much? Because my wave is the first indicator. But I want to go back to something really, really, really important. You talked about manifestation, and I think that this is one of the big keys. And I've just had this big ah moment, because I was the same. I went through all of my coach training. People were just having, like, literally like Tony Robbins, you know, change, change, change. And they would change. And I'd be like, what now? And again, I'd made the meaning that there was something wrong with me, and there was nothing wrong with me. It's just that I'm an emotional being, and I literally cannot just change like that. My emotions are on a mechanical wave. However, one of the things that I have realized in the last few years is that my emotions, they were so powerful as a kid. You know, like, I would literally doze off to sleep every night daydreaming. You know, I'm a Piscean. I love to daydream. And I'd be daydreaming about the next week, who I wanted to be when I grew up, like all this sort of stuff. And things would just miraculously happen. Then I tried to do these manifestation processes by everybody else's rules. And some things worked and some things didn't. But, you know, we know that we're individuals. We need to find what works for us. But then one thing that I've really tapped back into these days is on my morning walks and afternoon walks, I go back to what I used to do as a kid, and I put on music that just lights me up, and I daydream. And it might be me daydreaming about Steffi, and I get like my emotional wave, like she is involved. And anyway, I've got to tell you a really cool story of how powerful the emotional wave is. When we get these emotions, when we work with them, they're so, so powerful. So one of the things, we're out here at the moment traveling around Australia, our dogs are with my mum, okay, and we're really, really missing them. And I thought, you know what, I know the power of the quantum. So I literally, and I'm showing Jess, literally bought a little stuffed toy version of one of our dogs, a little long-haired Dachshund, Alice.
Love it.
And so we bought Alice because I knew that if we had Alice, we could all feel the love of Alice, you know. So we, and everyone's like, oh my God, it's like she's here. It feels so amazing. Da, 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 da. Within 36 hours, I'm on the phone to my mum, and anyway, the conversation comes around and we're like, oh, well, do you want us to bring the dogs back? And Justin's like, you got to be really careful because you're such a powerful manifester. And this is the thing, is that the emotional, when we work with our emotions and we allow ourselves to go on that, almost like, you know, people used to accuse me of being Pollyanna. That's my emotional wave. Like, we allow ourselves to go on that emotional wave and recruit our emotions for good. They're so freaking powerful, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have two thoughts. One of them is a rewind thought, and then one of them is on this topic. Something that came to mind before and it popped to my mind again is that with the emotional wave, I think about if you're trying to force it right into like, but I want it to happen now, which I can so easily do. I'm like, but I want to know where I'm going to live, like where is going to be my place. But the emotional wave has not come into its settling to tell me timing. I always think about this quote of like, if you get to the bus stop at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's pouring rain and the bus doesn't come until 8, but you insist you've got to be there at 6, you're just going to get wet waiting for the bus to come. And so I always try to remind myself of that, of it's okay that you don't know, because I don't know which maybe direction the bus is going to come from or what, who's going to be on the bus or what the bus driver is going to be wearing, but I know it's coming and I just have to trust that it's okay, you know, to arrive at the bus stop when I arrive at the bus stop.
Oh my God. I just have to say how much I love that. That is so true. And I feel like that actually sums up so much of my life.
Yes.
You know, of like waiting at the freaking bus stop in the rain. Love it.
Yes. 1,000,000%. The second thing I want to say is when I first came into the realm of manifestation, I was like a manifesting maniac to the point where my really good friend, when I lived in North Carolina, he was getting married. Married? Yeah. I think he had just gotten engaged. And this was probably 2017. And he said, he loved oatmeal cream pies, like the Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies, which are, it's not a common, to me, that's not a common dessert. You don't just like go somewhere and they've got oatmeal cream pies. To me, that's a very specific dessert. So I said to myself at this point, I'm like, I'm going to make oatmeal cream pies. Don't ask, I don't bake either. So I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. And it was like in the morning, it was like probably 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm going to make it and I've got to find a recipe. And I just put it out there and forgot about it. That day I had to go, this was the year where I was in everybody's wedding. So that later that day, I had to go pick up my, a jean jacket that I had bought for my friend that was going to be, it was like engraved, like thread. They did the threading on it, embroidered. And it said like her last name on it, Mrs. Whatever. And I went to this woman's house to go pick up this jacket. And she left it on the front doorstep. And for some reason, she opened the front door at the time that I was there, because she usually just leaves them. And she says, "You want to come in and see my studio?" And I was like, "Yeah, that would be great." I walk into this woman's house and she had made oatmeal cream pies, fresh oatmeal cream pies. And I walked past her kitchen and said, "Are those oatmeal cream pies?" She's like, "Yeah, do you want one?" I was like, "I was just saying this morning, I need a recipe for oatmeal cream pies." She goes, "I actually accidentally printed out 2 copies of this recipe. Do you want one?" And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me." And at that point, I really was deep in this. Like, and everything was happening like this. And I really think of manifestation now less of like, "Hey, Gus, I need you to give me oatmeal cream pies somewhere. And I need you to, you know, bring this, make this happen. Like, this is my request and you need to make it happen." And now I see it so much more of being in tune with the universe and being in tune with universal energy. Because there were a couple things I manifested that just went haywire that were huge lessons for me. But then it was like when you find out that a certain person that you thought was real as a child is not real. I'm not going to say it in case anybody's listening, but it was like, everything was just kind of like, "Oh, what do you like? This really doesn't work." Or I realized the other day, I'm like, it's okay to actually put out there and ask, you know, it's okay to start attuning in that way again. And none of it came from, like you said, like this really rigid manifestation principle. It came from this place of, I'm having so much fun. I'm getting so amped up and excited, and all of the right things are just going to fall into place. And I trust that they're going to happen. And that to me is the same energy from which I want to approach and try to approach my emotional wave is, what if this was just so much fun to roll with this emotional energy and feel all of it, that I trusted that this wave, just like an ocean wave, is going to bring me to the point I need to come to.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love it. I love it, because you're spot on. Like, I really resonate when I'm not indulging it and when I'm not repressing it, it is fun. You know, one of the things I remember when I was in my deepest, darkest depression, I was like, but I liked being down because I would listen to amazing music and I would write poetry and I would like, I don't get that all of a sudden it's a bad thing and I'm stuck. And so I actually really remember having that moment of going, I don't understand why being down or being depressed, why this has become such an awful thing. And I mean, obviously it was my mind stories. It was because I wasn't stepping into my power. Like I had done all of, there were so many reasons why, but that's my point is that when you're in alignment with your emotional energy and you're allowing it to guide you, it is this playful or mystical or, you know, I'm very, like, I love the hero's journey. I love, like, Alice in Wonderland is one of my top three books. The Alchemist is, you know, one of the others. In fact, Eat, Pray, Love is one of them as well. Like, they're all adventure. They're all, you know, mystery. They're all, like, finding yourself. And I'm the same. Like, I feel like that is, when I'm really in alignment with my solar plexus, it's that adventurous, playful, curious, but really connected emotionally. Like, you know, even to the point where I've got a lot of defining moments in my life, and a lot of them I can attribute walking a dog, running through a park, something like that with headphones and music in, and basically just daydreaming in my head. And that is my emotional wave. And I know that as I've got older, I just don't trust it. I'm like, oh, is that enough? Is that enough? That's a question I used to ask all the time. Is that enough? Knowing that it worked when I was younger, when I had no idea. But then now, even sometimes now, like yesterday is a perfect example. I just knew that yesterday was a, you know, although I wanted to keep to a certain, you know, this 5 a.m. structure that I'm embedding, I had to blow up the other inverted commas rules. I had to just be in that playful state. I had to let go. And I started, but then I defaulted. I went back to the mind thing and boom, the universe delivers me this happy, playful story that puts me literally, I'm in a public place walking along a bike track. I've woken up, I've realized, and I'm like, stop it. I'm talking to the birds and I'm skipping and I'm dancing. And that is, I think, a lot of that emotional solar plexus energy is that in the human design world, we hear so much suffering around the solar plexus, whether it's someone amplifying someone's defined solar plexus and reflecting it back, and or the person with the solar plexus going, yeah, I'm a really emotional person, and da, 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 da. This isn't an unresourceful energy. It's a beautiful energy. It's just that it's so counterintuitive to the mind. It's the opposite of the mind. It's this allowing yourself to feel, and I have really reverted back now to the word magic, to feel the magic, to be in the magic. And if your emotions tell you, and they're not like, and maybe depending on what gifts you have, but for me, they don't physically tell me in words so much as it's a feeling in my body. And I woke up on Thursday morning, and I actually saw you on Thursday, and I said, I just feel tired, I'm a bit off. And it was because, and this is how I can best explain it, it's like I've squashed the quantum. I've squashed my own particles too close together because I'm not letting the emotion through. I'm not letting the universe through my particles. The moment I open that energy back up again, all of a sudden, like, it doesn't matter what I feel because it feels good. It feels like this is where I'm going. Resonate?
Yes, totally. And as you were talking, and I don't know if you'll have Robert up, his podcast up before this or after.
It'll be after this. Yeah.
Okay. So you all have podcast. To watch out for Robert because he's amazing. There's a quote by Mama Gina. I don't know if it originally came from her, but I recently saw it. It's like play with all 88 keys. And it's talking about a piano. And when I think about Robert, does he play on the podcast? Any piano?
He doesn't play on the podcast. No.
Okay. Well, when you go find him, everybody goes and finds him, listen to his music, because I think about it when he's playing these deep sounds, right? These very low tones on the keyboard, it's still exceptionally profound and you can feel it. I can feel it, right? And the feeling and the rhythm and all of that, which is just as beautiful as when he's maybe playing a high note or, you know, something that feels a little bit more like melodic and joyful and whatever it may be. And I think you're right. I think what I used to do, and I used to get this question a lot more than I do now. So much of the manifestation talk is centered around feel an elevated emotion. And when you're an emotional being, and if I used to drop down, I'd be like, oh shit, I am in the low. I'm never going to be able to manifest the thing that I desire to manifest. But what I've started to learn is that actually, as I come down into the low, there's so much information that's there that I need to be able to tune into. And I've even learned when I'm doing my work and my healing work of being able to bring someone there. There's so much gold to be mined. So if we can stop thinking, not stop, but if we can open our minds and get curious about there being another way to look at the wave versus, oh, it just takes so long and it's frustrating that I have to wait. It's like my friend who's sacral, like I know she's going to get in the moment. I might've been thinking about it for 3 months, the same decision that it came into my awareness 3 months ago and I'm rolling on it. And it comes into her awareness that day that she needs to know about it. And then she gets it. So it's, to me, like the universe is giving us the same exact thing. It's just, when does it come in? And I think if I've had to learn to see the emotional wave as a gift, and I've also with certain people in my life who are very empathic, who are very open, that maybe emotion has felt intense. And therefore it's been like, I don't want to feel your emotion if you're feeling it, even if I'm in your space. And it was a lot worse, I think, when I was not attuned to my wave, much like you were talking about, because I wasn't for a long time. That person can go, I know how this is, how Jess operates. So I'm just going to give her a couple of days, or I'm going to let her feel into it. And it's been like, I think about some of my close relationships, it's been a learning lesson on both sides to be able to have the courage to say, hey, I need some time. And for that other person to go, I'm annoyed that she can't make this decision maybe in the moment, not annoyed, but it's like a little inconvenient, but I know that there's actually beauty in the way that we both function differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And that really brings me to that part of, you know, when you have a defined solar plexus, you do need to have the courage to reteach people how to treat you.
Yes.
Because ultimately I highly recommend that. So everyone's wave is different. Okay. So I know for me that I have three cycles within my cycle, if you like, so I have a small wave that's going to happen throughout a day. Then I have one that's about a week. Then I have one that's about 3 months. And then sometimes, and it's funny, I think we also have one that's about 3 years. And it's really interesting because Justin said even before we came to Human Design, he's like, it's really weird because we have like one epic fight every 3 years, which we actually haven't had for ages. So that's either a good thing or I should just be very aware of that. Yeah. And this is the thing, like everyone's emotional wave is going to be different and unique to them. So we want to be able to be conscious to put some framework in so that we can experiment. For the small decisions, one thing I always say about a defined solar plexus is that if you've got a defined solar plexus, you need a few runs at it. What does that mean? If you're going to the fridge to decide what to eat, don't be surprised if you have to look 3 times. If you're journaling on something, and I often find this, actually had the experience in our intuition mastermind this week where it was like my emotion and my mind was still too busy. So I didn't quite drop in and I couldn't quite get the connection that I wanted in my meditation. But for me, I really believe that this is an emotional solar plexus. Like it needs a few runs at things sometimes. So you've got to be really kind to yourself in that process because sometimes you're just not going to be there. However, when you're there, what you might find is you can go a lot deeper or a lot wider or a lot higher than other people that aren't defined, but you have to just be like, well, I really am at the mercy of my mechanical wave. So we want to have short periods of time that we can take a break. Like I said, reteach people to either step out of your aura or give you a few minutes. And then you also want to just put the sleep on it rule in place, like just freaking sleep on it. Because then what you're going to find as you start to build the muscle is that sometimes you're going to be like, I don't have it yet. 3 days go by and then you say, okay, this is what I feel. This is what's correct. But unless you start building the muscle of sleeping on it, you're not going to change the actual mental habit and you need to change the neural pathway. So just starting to run that experiment is going to be something that's going to help you discover what's true for you. And journal. Keep a record of the decisions that feel good, go your way, the decisions that perhaps you jumped in early, didn't go your way, so that you can actually see what's working and what's not working. Again, this is how we give our brain evidence that it's safe to trust our authority through the process. And then everyone's going to have a different wave. I mean, Jess and I actually share the same wave. It's the one that I call the ratchet. but again, get to know your unique wave. I don't know about you, Jess, but especially when I was going through my indulging stage, oh my goodness, it was freaking crazy, out of control. Whereas now I can be a little miss peaceful and I'm just like, yeah, I'm all good. And then boom. And my kids, they will sometimes look at me like, whew, where did that come from? So getting to know how your wave shows up is also going to be really important, because otherwise, I know for me, I used to create lots of mental stories about how I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't behave that, I shouldn't. So become really aware of how your wave, manifests within you, and then give yourself a much more powerful, resourceful meaning. So if I explode like that, I'm like, oh, somebody needs some time out. Someone needs to go play. Someone needs to whatever. So, Jess, how do you feel about all of that? It was a lot of information. Feedback?
Amen. I love all of it. It's also so interesting. Sometimes I feel like as a manifestor, I actually prefer to not be asked a question, but just to be able to ping pong and feed off of the energy. Not that I don't want to be asked questions, but you know what I mean? I'm just like, yes, let's keep going. excuse me. Just yes to all of that. I think that I deeply resonate with that. And I used to make up stories about that as well. I've also got the 10-20, which can have a very sharp tongue at times. And it's interesting because just knowing about these different waves as well, my mom has it, the same wave. And I called her the other day, or she called me about something, and she snapped. And I was like, she just needs to get off the phone, because it was like, she said something about people, everyone she had talked to that day. And then it culminated with me. And I was like, oh, she's just ratcheted up, and I'm receiving her at the fourth phone call where she is going to lose her mind. And we need to just get off the phone, because she just needs to feel it. Where, in a past experience, that could be like, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Where it's like, oh, I just actually understand the mechanics of it, and I don't have to judge it. And if I don't have to judge that within myself either. And I'm curious for you around touch, physical touch. Do you find that that's helpful for you when your
wave ratchets up? This is such a great question. So I grew up in a family. I was never told that I was loved. I was never cuddled. I never had any physical touch whatsoever from my parents. Now, I knew I was loved. And up until I studied human behavior, I was like, I'm sweet. I knew I was loved. And then I started understanding the power of human touch. And even to this day, sometimes, I have done that typical, we either go down the road of our parents and mimic them, or we go the opposite road. And I've gone the opposite road, and I'm very cuddly and affectionate. But I will often, if I'm grumpy, I will be like, if I'm in my, if I've exploded in my wave, I'm will default to that old unresourceful behavior. But what I've noticed that is freaking crazy, and I love this shit, is that all, without telling them, with all three of my husband and my two kids, without a doubt, one of them's going to hug me. Without a doubt, one of them's going to give me a big fat kiss, or hold my hand, or something. And I'm just like, you can't make this shit up. Even though my ego still to this day is so conditioned to go, I don't need you, my aura is, yes, I do.
Bring it in.
And I think that, so touch does make a massive difference. And I know now, if I'm in this place, one of the things that I will literally say to my husband, I'll be like, oh, babe, I'm needy, because I'm really 10 foot tall, bulletproof, independent. Actually, I'm not, that's my old 10 foot tall, but I'm very independent. I don't, you know, energetically, I don't need anyone. Blah, blah, blah. And then the moment I get in this place, I've learned to say, oh, babe, I'm needy. And that actually means that I'm really needy. Like, I need you to be here with me right here, right now, at my, you know, let's cuddle, let's watch telly, let's do all of those things. So, yeah, it plays out a massive role.
Totally. I think that, I mean, I'm very single, so I don't get as much physical touch, to be quite honest with you, but I've also heard something like, you need 7 physical touches a day to stay like neurologically healthy or something like this. And so my roommate and I, we do this thing. We say hug quota, and we're like, all right, hug quota. We need to like give each other a hug before we go to bed so we can stay healthy. I've noticed when I have been in long periods by myself, I do crave physical touch of some kind where, you know, I was, where I live, there's not a lot of young people. And so I was alone for about 2 weeks and I was like, I need a hug. Like, I need somebody to touch me. Like, I need something. Because I will feel my body actually start to relax if my energy's getting up. But similar to you, I've been the same way. I'm like, you know, I've got, you know, the 40 as well. And I, you know, I'm on the roof. So I like to have a lot of, you know, time to myself, and I'd have a lot of second line energy in my chart and all of that. And so I love alone time, but there is that definite. And again, I'm like, I'm a manifestor. I can do it. But I'm really starting to realize, and this has been big for me too, is like, and we don't have to get too deep into this, but even fourth line energy of being like, I need my people, like people are so important to me. And I think even just, I used to have a story around that of being like, am I needy? Cause I need people. And realizing, no, it's actually okay. And it's okay to want to be hugged, and it's okay to experience all of this energy exactly as it is, because I am created exactly as I need to be. Yeah. And one thing I just wanted to round out with was, you had talked about like being a child and being able to follow your emotional energy and just play with it. And it's like, yeah, it just goes to show you that conditioning over time that goes, well, you know, I was talking to somebody who had a child who was a senior in high school the other day. And I'm like, oh man, that stress that I remember of like, what school are you going to go to? And what do you want to do with the rest of your life? Where suddenly you're expected to be an adult, you know, all this, these layers of mental conditioning that make us think it's not okay to be in that childlike state of wonder and awe and play. That's just simply not true.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. And my story was so different. My world versus the world when I went out into the external reality, like two completely different experiences. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, my beautiful human, we've been chatting for a while. Yeah. I think we've covered most things, and it's been so much fun talking to you.
Yes, thank you.
You're so, fun. So welcome. So good. So for all of you out there with emotional authority, I trust that's going to be really helpful and supportive for you. I'm going to just put Jess Bubbico's details in the show notes as well, in case you want to check her out. And I strongly suggest you check her out if you haven't already. Thanks so much for joining, Jess.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, everybody. Well, thanks so much for joining. I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now.
Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.